I'm excited to share with you the best predictor of a child's future happiness when they become an adult and what they need to develop now in order to be on this road. This information that I'm going to share with you is some of the best that I have learned regarding parenting in the last year, and much of my insights that I'm going to share with you come from a book called The Collapse of Parenting by Dr. Leonard Sachs. We can all agree that raising children to become happy adults, satisfied with life, is a loving and kind thing to do for children, to set them up for success. But what we cannot agree upon is the road that leads them there. And this can be seen from the fact that there's a variety of parenting styles, but also in our education system and the variety of things that are being taught to children. Some adults believe that a young person should be led by their desires and feelings. For example, if a young boy feels like they should be treated as a young girl, they should get what they desire, because this is seen by adults as for the good and happiness of the child. So if a child desires a pronoun change, they should get a pronoun change. If a child desires to be the opposite sex, they should have access to hormone blockers or surgery for that purpose. This is seen by adults for the child's good and happiness. This is a clear example of feeling leading decisions. I happen to believe that a child should not be making permanent, life-altering changes to their body for two reasons. Number one, they don't have the intellectual capacity to understand the long-term implications of their decisions. And number two, they haven't developed sufficient self-control over their feelings and desires. As a result, a child tends to make decisions with poor judgment based upon feeling. And as a result, their decisions are all over the place. Part of becoming an adult is learning to make decisions based upon reason, not feeling. These are some reasons why we limit children's ability to make other decisions in society. For example, children can't get married until a certain age. They can't vote until a certain age. They can't buy alcohol until a certain age. Children can't get a tattoo without parental consent until a certain age. Therefore, it seems reasonable that a child should not be given authority to make permanent life-altering changes to their body until they're an adult, even if that child wants it and desires it. But doesn't a child find happiness by getting everything they want? No, we know this as adults. Or does a child want everything that is good for them? No, again, we know this as adults. And so as adults, we have to step into a child's life sometimes and say, no, you can't have that because that is not good for you. I do this all the time with our children. For example, sugary treats. Because they want a sugary treat, do they get a sugary treat? No. If they got every time what they wanted, they would have sugar all the time. Not only do I limit when they can have the sugary treat, I also limit how much they can have because they would just gorge themselves. Bedtime. I have a predetermined time where they go to bed and when they wake up. Otherwise, what would happen? They would stay up really late and they would want to sleep in. And they sometimes lack the sufficient judgment to know that if I stay up too late, I'm going to be really cranky the next day. So me, as an adult, step into their life and say, no, this is not good for you. And by stepping into their life and making a decision for them, what happens? Two things. They are developing self-control. And number two, we're forming their intellect. And why is this important? Because we want our children to be happy and satisfied adults in the future. But does this road lead there? Well, this is what the research says. There is one thing that is the best predictor of a child's future happiness and life satisfaction. And guess what it is not? It is not IQ. It is not grade point average. The best predictor of a child's happiness is not if they come from an affluent home or a low-income home, whether they live in rural or urban settings. A child's future happiness is not predicted by net worth, intelligence, or race. And this is really good news because a child cannot change some of these things. The greatest predictor of a child's future happiness and life satisfaction is one of the five dimensions of a person's personality. Now, hang in here with me because this is absolutely crucial. The five dimensions of personality are openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and emotional stability. And one of these predicts a child's future happiness and life satisfaction, and that is conscientiousness. According to Dr. Sachs, individuals who are more conscientious earn and save more money, even after researchers adjusted for intelligence, race, ethnicity, and education. Individuals who are more conscientious are also significantly happier than individuals who are less conscientious, and they are substantially more satisfied with their lives. Other studies show that conscientiousness predicts better health and longer life. People who are more conscientious are less likely to be obese. They are less likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. They're more likely to live longer and happier lives, and are more likely to be satisfied with their lives. Teenagers who are more conscientious are less likely to subsequently to use drugs or alcohol or engage in risky sexual behaviors. No other human trait predicts significantly greater wealth and health and happiness among those who possess it compared to those who do not. So what is this thing called conscientiousness? It's made up of a couple sub-traits. One is honesty, another integrity, but here is the major one, the big one, self-control. Do you see a theme here in this video? Self-control. If we can teach our children to be in control of their emotions, their desires, their feelings, then what we are doing is we're setting children up for a future of happiness and life satisfaction when they become an adult. Now, before we get on to our next major point, if you are finding value in this video, can you please like it? By liking this video, it gets out to our larger audience, and I would appreciate that. What I find interesting about the importance of self-control for a future life of happiness and satisfaction is that this is absolutely consistent with what the Catholic Church teaches regarding the life of virtue. For example, a virtue is in the middle of two extremes. And in order to exercise that virtue, you need self-control. For example, the virtue of fortitude is between two extremes. One is brashness, the other one is cowardice. A person who is brash enjoys risk for its own sake. So the person has little self-control over the desire for a thrill. They're a thrill seeker and they can't rein in that passion. The other extreme is cowardice, which is refusing to make a prudent sacrifice because of fear. So a person lacks self-control over the emotion of fear and then acts cowardly. The virtue of fortitude is in the middle of these two vices, brashness and cowardice, and in order to exercise it, one needs self-control. In order to exercise any virtue, whether it's fortitude or temperance or prudence, whatever it is, one needs self-control. And this self-control brings in a person from two extremes. That's what virtue is, the middle of two extremes. And guess what? A virtuous person is a happy person. And you can take that to the bank. A virtuous person is in control of their passions and do not let their passions control them. They do not let their circumstance influence their inner peace. They don't let their passions become their identity, something our society is confused about. A virtuous person is more comfortable to be around. They're not volatile. They consistently act towards the good. Once a person has acquired a particular virtue, then they exercise that virtue with ease. Since the best predictor of a child's future happiness and life satisfaction as an adult is self-control, and every virtue requires self-control, we want to teach our children self-control. So, I'd like to share with you four tips in teaching children self-control and a resource that we use in our home to help do this. Just click the link here at the end of this video to continue on with the message.